Okay, we went to the bottom of Ted Zayin and Mudbet. Gemara here is going to discuss the Machlokas in the Mishnah about the consistency of a Sanhedrin HaGedolah. The Mishnah says that Sanhedrin HaGedolah ita shal 71, b'ktana shal 23. And I mean, 9 HaGedolah shi shal 71. How do we know that there's 71 in the Beis Din HaGadol, or Sanhedrin HaGadol? Shnemar, espili, 70 ish mizikne Yisrael, u'moshi al gabehen. That's the Shita Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, 70. That's 70. So the machlok is whether the Beit Din HaGadol was 71 or consists of 70. So when it says, Sanhedrin HaGadol Haita, my time at the Rabbanan. Why do the Rabbanan believe, Damrei Moshe Al Gabehen, why do they say that? Amar Jules and Balotcha that are chosen, the Shivim Zikenim, that are chosen to work alongside with Moshe or help Moshe out, it says, Rabbi Tetsusha Mimach. Right, so when it says they will be there with you, right? It's imach va'at behadayu. Alongside of you means that you are there with them. That's the understanding would be not simply that they're coming to replace you or that they're going to be an independent body, but they're going to be alongside of you. If they're alongside of you, then you have 71. Rabbi Yehuda. So what is Rabbi Yehuda going to do with the word? It says imach mishum shchina. There's a practical consideration here. Practical consideration has nothing to do with the fact that they are going to be together with Moshe, or they're going to be a single body together with Moshe, but simply that the presence of the Shekhinah that was in the Ohel Moed, right, it has to now go onto these or be placed upon these 70 Zekenim. So that's what Rashi. Rashi brings down those two interpretations. One interpretation is that Tzalti min Ruach Hashem Alecha, right, I'm going to take from the Spirit, the Shekhinah that's on you, and grant it to the other Shivim Zekenim. Or the other one is the possibility, Rashi brings down the possibility about entering into Ol Moed. That even though they were going to be chosen, only Moshe could still enter into Ol Moed to receive the Dibur Mi'et Hashem, or that the Shekhinah would come down. So whatever the designation is that's unique to Moshe, either Moshe is necessary to have the Shekhinah be present on all of them or to be placed upon each of them, or Moshe is needed in order to access the Shekhinah, which is in the Ol Moed. Rabbanan, Amakra, but Rabbanan say, wait, we have, the Pasuk says, V'nasu itcha b'masa ha'am. Right, so it says, the Pasuk says that they will carry the burden of the nation along with you. Itcha v'at be'adayu. Right, you alongside of them? So Rabbi Yehuda, itcha b'domim lecha. When it says itcha, means similar to you. What does that mean, similar to you? Miyuchasim. They're going to be individuals who are of stature and people who are appropriate for the job, just like you. For Rabbanan, where do they learn that? There it says, right, that they will lighten the burden on you. So the right, V'yalfa Sanhedrin Gedola Misanhedrin Tana. So the Rabbanan say, wait, if Rabbi Yehuda believes in itcha b'domim lecha, how do we know that's true for the Rabbanan? So Rabbanan say, well, we have akel lecha v'nasu itcha b'masa'am. So that's from the Parsha of Yitro. In the Parsha of Yitro, when he describes the judges, it says that they have akel lecha v'nasu itcha. There already we know that they have to be similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. So v'yofa Sanhedrin Gedola Misanhedrin Ktana. There, by Yitro, it's talking about setting up the Beis Din of 23. And in Beis Din 23, it says, V'nasu itcha, that they will be, or Sanhedrin Ketana, it's talking about V'nasu itcha. And we'll learn, the Sanhedrin Gedola, we will learn out from the Sanhedrin Ketana. Just like the Sanhedrin Ketana have to be similar to Moshe, then certainly, the Sanhedrin Gedola have to be similar to Moshe. So they don't need, again, the Chachamim don't need the Pasuk of V'nasu itcha b'masa am to learn the Limud of Rabbi Yehuda, which is itcha b'domim lecha. They already have that from the Pasuk in Yitro. If they have that from the Pasuk in Yitro, then the Pasuk of V'nasu itcha b'masa am is now additional, extraneous, and from that they're going to learn that Moshe was alongside of the judges, or alongside of these 70. So now you have the two Pasukim from Balotcha and the one Pasuk from Yitro. Together, the Rabbi Yehuda believes that Beizerzum Imach is about the Shekhinah. The one being that they will Venasu Itcha B'Masa'am is about the being Domim Lecha. And the Chamim said, I don't need Venasu Itcha because I have the puzzle from Yitro, Me'akel Alecha Venasu Itcha, and I learn from there. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda does not learn from Sanhedrin Ketanah. He has a separate pasuk or a separate limud for the Sanhedrin Gedolah from Parshat Balotcha. Ve'tan Rabbanan, Ve'isharu shnei anashim b'machaneh, separate limud for the Sanhedrin Gedolah from Parshat Balotcha. Ve'tan Rabbanan, Ve'isharu shnei anashim b'machaneh. So there were two individuals that stayed in the camp. So we know that the Torah describes this as being Eldad and Medad, who stay in the Am, in the Machaneh. The question is, why are they in the Machaneh? Yoshimrim bekalpi nishtayru. They were left over in the lottery. Why? B'shasha amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moseh Sfili Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael. So that Hashem says to Moshe, get to me 70 elders of Klal Yisrael. Amar Moshe, kid said, I say, how am I going to get this to work? If I pick 6 from each shevet, I'm going to end up with 72. Because there's 12 shvatim, 6 from each shevet end up with 72 individuals, and Hashem only asked for 70. So what's the other option? If I'm not going to do 6, I'll do 5 from each shevet. So I'll take 5 from each shevet, into asarach hasirim, because 5 times 12 is 60. I'll still be missing 10. Alright, so we'll redistribute. I'll give 6 to one shevet, 5 to another shevet. It's going to be unfair. The shvatim won't accept such a allocation. The shevet will say, why should I have the 5? Why don't I have the 6? Who's going to be the determinant of who gets 5 and who gets 6? So of course, what are they going to do? They're going to throw lots, right, to see who should get the 5 and who should get the 6.
Huh? Should have just had 2 houses.
He picked 6 from each shevet and brought 72 slips of paper. On 7 of them he wrote the word zakein. And he left 2 of them empty. Mixed them up, placed them into the pot, you know, the famous lottery bowl. Come and take your, you know, your lotteries. If the person got the word zakein, amar kvar kideshcha shemaim, that you were already chosen, you're already kadosh min hashemaim. Mishalo biyado chalak, whoever got the empty lottery ticket, amar amakom lo chafetz pecha. Kosh Baruch Hu is not interested in you. Ani, mayna aseh lecha, what can I do for you? It's a little bit of a sharp response. But kiyotzev adavar, ata omer, lakachta chameshet shkalim legolgolet. So again, this is also in Bamidbar, when it goes to the exchange of the Bechor, right, the Bechorot to be the Levi'im, right, the Levi'im and the Kohanim take over as those that service Hashem from the Bechorot. So now, once you do that, how do you exchange them? So they did a census of the Levi'im, and they do a census of the Bechorot. How does it come out? The census comes out that there's a differential of 273 between the two census. So now you have each Levi can replace one individual, one Bechor. So when they replace one Bechor, 22,000 people are off the hook. There's 273 remaining that don't have a Levi to exchange. So what do they have to do? They have to pay a pidyon of 5 shekel. So you come to every Bechor and say, listen, you know, I need you to pay up to 5 shekel to redeem yourself. He says, why do I have to pay? I have a Levi that I'm exchanged for. I don't need to pay up. So how do you determine who should pay? So that's the what the Gemara is saying, is a similar type of situation. So the lekach chameshet shkalim legulgot, and Moshe kids it asela am Yisrael. Imar lo ten li pidyon cha, give me your redemption, v'tzei, yomar li, v'tzei, and be, you know, freed, meaning you'll remove the kedusha. Yomar li, kvar pedani ben Levi. I was exchanged for a Levi. Masa, yivi, esrim mushnaim alufim pitkim, he brought 22,000 tickets. Ketav aleihem ben Levi, on those who wrote ben Levi. On the 273 remaining tickets, which are in addition to that, 22,273, those additional 273, Kataveleim, 5 shekel. Balalan benatnam bekalpi. Mix them up, put them into the lottery bowl. Mlem tlu, pitkechem, take your tickets out. Misha labiyado ben Levi, the one who got ben Levi, amalok, farpadocha, ben Levi, you're free because you were exchanged for an Levi. Whoever got the 5 shekel ticket, amalok, 10 pitkechem, vete. You know, pay your redemption fee. In this way, there was no bias. All was done randomly. You pick it up to the bowl, so whoever got had to pay, paid, because that was what they were chosen by. Again, generally, the
even though when you look at these, the lottery or picking out of a goral as being something that is random, it's clear throughout Tanakh that the Torah does not view that as being random, but rather Yad Hashem. Whenever you're dealing with the goral is the influence or the, even in what seems to be the most random of items and the unbiased of all, still we assign or we attribute the Yad Hashem to all these items, have it recurring over and over again, meaning Yonah. Right, and say for Yonah, when they pick the Goralot and it lands on the Yonah, you have it by Achan and the Shlal, when they're picking the Goralot to find out who took from the Shlal. Again, the Goralot that we learned in Baba Batra, what to do with the Nachla, they pick up the Goralot and the which Chelek and which Shevet come out. All of these items are done by Goralot, but there's clearly indications of Yad Hashem and not something that is random. So the same thing over here. The suggestion here that the 72 Zakenim, 70 out of the 72 Zakenim are going to be picked. It's not that it's going to be random, but rather, that's what Moshe says. Kvar ki dashcha. Right? You're ready. We're mekudash. I mean, this was not a, you know, this wasn't a decision, but just an indication of what the Yad Hashem wanted. So just to keep in mind, that's not such a, not view like a totally random, picking. Alright. Rabbi Shimon Omer, b'machane nishtayru. This is a different interpretation of why.
It's basically saying, look, instead of me picking, let's see what Hashem wants.
Right.
So they shouldn't have anything
against Moshe. Right. It's a way of being, I mean, in either way, whether it was random or what Hashem said, either way would have been a way to make it neutral. I'm saying that even if it was totally random, it wouldn't be, they have no claims against Moshe. But it's just indicated that, but Goral is viewed not just in that way, that it's a neutral vehicle. It's Hashem's hand. Right. So Rabbi Shimon Omer Machaneh Nishtayru. So the, alright, so in the first answer, the answer why they are in the Machaneh is that they were afraid. They were afraid to be the ones who picked out the blank pieces. So they didn't. They weren't willing to step up to come to the lottery or pick out because they didn't want to get be the ones left out of the lottery. Right? Rejected. So Rishon Omer b'Machaneh Nishtayru b'Shar Shemar LaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Svili Shivim Ish Amru Eldar Meidar Yenaruim LeOto Gdula. So another approach that they said, not that they were afraid that they were not going to be picked, but rather they felt unworthy. They claimed that they said they were being anavim, they were being those that were of humble, and said that we were not deserving of this kavod. So they remained in the machaneh. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, mi'atitchem etzvem, since kept yourselves, you weren't haughty, you kept yourself in check. Hareini mosif gedula gedulatchem. I'm going to give you even more. So what did he grant them for that anavah that they have? All the other neviim had nevuah and then stopped. It was a cessation of their nevuah. On the other hand, they had nevuah and they did not stop having nevuah. And what was the nevuah, the famous nevuah that they had? Moshe mate, Yoshua machnis et Yisrael la'aretz. Moshe is going to pass away and Yoshua is Talmid will take them into Eretz Yisrael. He disagrees and says, no, that the nevuah was a nevuah of l'sha'a, because in that topic, if you remember in Balotcha, there are two issues that are taking place. Moshe, the people come to Moshe and they want meat, and they complain. So Moshe goes back to Kadosh Baruch Hu and makes two complaints. First of all, I can't handle all these people by myself. And number two, where am I going to get all the meat for them? So that's what ended up happening, is that Hashem addresses both issues. One issue is that he gives him the Shivim Zakenim to help him out. And number two is he brings the Slav to take care of the meat issue. So when they say, when Abba Chanin says that they were mitnabe al iske Slav, that is basically a statement that they were only had nevuah l'sha'ah. That nevuah for that period of time, they dealt with an issue that was current. And that current issue was dealing with the Slav.
Now, the Gemara says that, we said that the other 70, I mean, what's going on here? Moshe's saying, I can't handle this all by myself, I need help. So that was the help, a one-shot deal?
It's two different things. One is nevuah, and one is the ability to help him, meaning that they might have Ruach HaKodesh, might have something that allows them to help, but nevuah.
So they maybe were only with my big ones, but they continued to retain a status of
the You could. I would suggest that the nevuah that they got was to give them some chut. It was a way to show that they were chosen by Hashem. They have some sort of nevuah, which says, okay, look, these people are special. And after they go, I mean, they didn't have to have permanent nevuah. All right, so Rachman Amar, Rav Nachman says, the nevuah related to Aske, Gog, Umagog, Ayumit Nabim. They're really dealing with something way in the future. Shneamar, because it says in Yechezkel,
right? And the Chazkas is the pasuk before the Haftorah that we read for Chol HaMoed Sukkos by Magog HaMagog. Komar Hashem Elokim Atahu Asher Dibarti B'Yamim Kodmonim. This is, are you the one that I spoke about in the early years? B'Yad Avadai Nevi'ei Yisrael and Nevi'im B'Yamim Mahim Shanim. Right? Are those that gave Nevuah in the yesteryears? Right, that said that you will come upon them. I mean that standing now in the time of Gog and Magog, this will be the statement to Gog and Magog when they're coming, when the nation is coming and they're coming to attack Israel. They say, are you the one that we spoke of, that the Nevi'im spoke about those years ago? So now the Gemara says, okay, Atikra Shanim Ella Shnayim. Don't read it as years, many years ago, but by those the two. Who were two Nevi'im at the exact same Nevu'ah at the exact same time. That's another interpretation of what the Nevu'ah was about. So Amar Mar. So now going back to the statement, that all the other Nevi'im, the other 70 or 68 Zekenim, had Nevu'ah and there was a cessation of their Nevu'ah, and they had Nevu'ah that did not stop. How do you know that the others stopped? Because it says in the pasuk, right, it says that they add nevuah v'lo yasafu. V'lo yasafu can mean one of two interpretations. This means lo yasafu means they did not continue. Right? The lo yasafu means that they didn't stop. Right? So that's what Gemara is going to say. Nevuah v'lo yasafu. Okay, you want to suggest lo yasafu means they stopped at that point in time. What are you going to do with the years of that term by Har Sinai? Right, and very much described, it says Kol Gadol Velo Yasaf. So it's talking about Hashem's voice, right? When it talks about the Kol of Hashem, it says the Kol of Hashem is great, Velo Yasaf, and it stopped. That doesn't make any sense. It means Velo Yasaf means it did not stop. It meant it continued to go and go. So Achanami Delo Sifu. How you can explain it as being not adding? Ella Delo Pasaku means it didn't stop. Elo Chaktiv. It's written over here. V'Nabu Hotam Kitiv Mitnabim. Right, so that over here it says Vagnitabu, which is the, I guess, the past tense plural. And here it says mitnabim, that they are in the present tense having nivuah. So adayim mitnabim veolchim, that they were continuing to have nivuah, as opposed to the others that was written in the past tense that they already had nivuah and that nivuah had passed. So bishvam alamandamar Moshe mate. So that when the one who says that the nivuah that they had was that Moshe would pass away and Yosha would take him into Eretz Yisrael, I know diftiv adoni Moshe kelayim. That's why they come running in they get the news of what El Dad and Medad are saying. And Yeshua says, Adonai Moshe Kaleim, take care, you gotta stop this. This is inappropriate. Elamanda Amar Hanachtarti. The other two Nevuot, either dealing with the Slav or dealing with Gog and Magog, my Adonai Moshe Kaleim. Why should Moshe be upset about what they're saying? It has no relevance, in a sense, no relevance to him. So my says, La Borchara Tahabalei Ketamida Moreh Halacha L'Shvei Rabbo. Which is not, it's not appropriate, it's not Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz in the sense, they're having Nevuah in front of their Rebbe, who's the Av HaNevi'im. So it's inappropriate for them to start speaking and having Nevuot about things that will happen in the future when their Rebbe Moshe, who gets the Dibur Me'et Hashem, is standing right there. Okay, Bishlam Adam Adam Ranach Tarte, those that say it was talking about Gog and Magog, the Slav, Haino Dichtiv, Mi'itein. So Moshe's response to what Yoshua's Adonai Moshe claim is, Mi'itein, Kol Am Hashem, right? Let all Klal Yisrael be Nevi'im. I'll be happy if everybody was a Nevi. So Elamanda Amar Moshe mate. If the one who says that Moshe is going to die, Yeshua is going to take him to Eretz Yisrael, what type of minach have a nechalei? Moshe would have liked that. Why would he say that? Let everybody be a Nevi and tell them they're not going to die. So he says lo seimua kamei. They didn't, complete the nevuah in front of him. I don't know. It wasn't clear to him what the conclusion of the nevuah is. So my kalaim. Kalim means placed on them the tzachet zibur and the nevuah will stop. Meaning that they had some sort of nevuah. I guess Moshe did not get the message or the full message of what they had said. By not having that information, he just said, they said, oh, they're having nevuah in the middle of the yam. So he says, okay, you want to stop that, just put the tzachet zibur on them and that'll have their nevuah, right, stop because of the pressures or the difficulties of nevuah, which is, as Tosfos points out, if you look at the you have to be happy and things have to be easy going in order for you to have nevuah. As soon as you become the gabbai and everybody's giving you a hard time, then you don't have that simcha that you can get the nevuah until you retire, right? And then the next gabbai takes over. So the next thing that the Mishnah deals with is the fact that a Sanhedrin Ketana has 23 members. So there we had two Eidot. You have an Eidah, and an Eidah makes you up to 20. And then the Gemara says you have to win by, you can't have a Beis Din Shakul, you have to win by two. So you have to end up with 23. Gemara says, how can I ever end up a case where you can win by two? There's no such thing. If you have 23 members of the Sanhedrin, you can never have it that you have a balance where you actually have a majority by two. So, the Ra'ah, Apishnaim, Lo Mishkachala. Based on having a Beit Din of 23, you'll never have a majority of two that want to incriminate him. If you have 11 that say he is, right, innocent, and then you have 12 that say that he is guilty. So that's 12 versus 11. So kati chadu, that's only one. On the other hand, if you say there are 10 that say he's innocent, and 13 that say that he's guilty, the difference is 3. So you can't have the Torah which prescribes that for a guilty verdict you need a majority of two. For an innocent verdict, you only need a majority of one. But when you have a Sanhedrin of 23, you will never have a majority of two that are, right, incriminating or making a party guilty. Okay, so it's only when you have to add on additional judges. Right, that's according to everybody. Or by Sanhedrin Gedolah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it says 70. So with Rabbi Yehuda, who has the even number, which is that his Sanhedrin Gedolah is 70, it consists of 70 people, then you can have a possibility where you have, right, a division of a majority of two, because you could have 36 versus 34. So that will work in terms of majority of two. And according to both the Chachamim, And Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to a Sanhedrin Ketana made up of consisting of 23, if you have a Beit Din that consists of 23 members, then 11 say innocent and 11 say guilty. One party says Eini Yodea, I don't know. So once a person says Eini Yodea, he is knocked out. It's as if he doesn't count anymore, and they are Mosifim. But they Mosif, when they add on to the Beit Din, they add on two individuals each time they add on. So now we add on two individuals, there's a possibility those two individuals could go either to the innocent side or the guilty side. So that is how you'll come up with a case where you can have a majority of two. So Amar Rabbi Abba, b'mosifim osim beit din shakul echadchila. So when we add on, you can end up with a case where you can have a even beis din up front, which is what we just described here. If you have 11 saying innocent, 11 saying guilty, that means you're up to 22 total. One says any yodea. The one who says any yodea is knocked out. We add on an additional two. You have a sum total of 24 dayanim, plus the one who says any yodea. But you have really 24 that can't give a opinion. So that's an even beis din. My says pshita. Of course, I mean, if you're going to add on by twos and you have somebody knocked out, you're going to have an even beis din. So Mar says, no, the one who says any yodea is still as if he's a party. And if he has something to say, we're going to listen. The one who says any yodea is out of the picture entirely. I mean, that we do not listen anymore. If he has something to say, it's as if he doesn't exist. I mean, that when a person says any yodea, when it comes to the psak halacha, he's out of the picture and he no longer has any right to say or speak up. He's as if he's been knocked off the beis din. So it becomes a beis din of 22 instead of a beis din of 23 at that point in time. They were mosivim shtayim. So that's how you get even numbers. That's how you can have a majority of two.
Yeah.
All right. I'm out of...
So if you have any yodea, so it's 22, then you have to have another two.
Right.
I'm not going to down with 22.
After mosivim, I have to have a minimum of 23, correct. So Amar Rav Gana, Sanhedrin Shira'u Kulan Lechova Potrin Oto. Any Sanhedrin where there's a unanimity of decision of guilty, or they only see the negative side, we let him go. My time up. Kevin Gemire, we know V'Loch L'Mosh Misinai, we know that Alana Tadin La'Mabed Le'Zechuto. The whole reason that we don't give Psak Halacha whenever it comes to capital crimes or punishments, we don't give Psak Halacha on the day that we hear the din. You have to leave it overnight so that they can think about it. Why? The reason you have to leave it overnight is so that they can see him as chut. We want to give the parties, or we want to give the judges time to rethink their decision and say maybe they'll come up with something positive. But if there's a beit din already that's unanimous in their guilty verdict and they have nothing good to say, then there's no chance that overnight anything's going to improve. We need to have a party with somebody at least who's arguing on behalf of the individual, for the innocence of the individual. At least that might sway some of the judges overnight that they would think or rethink their positions. But if nobody's saying anything to the positive side, who's going to rethink their decision overnight?
Amri Rabbi Yochanan. Emo shivim misanhendre ella. So here are the qualifications. You have to be balei kuma, balei chokma, ubalei mar'e, ubalei zkena, ubalei kshafim, v'yodim b'ayin lashon. So they have to be, right, balei, Rashi puts balei kuma and balei mar'e together, which is that they should have, they should be of stature, and here it seems to be a physical stature and handsome. I mean, that's something that others will have a sense of kavod towards them, not just because of their what they know or what they can teach, but also because of their physical stature, that they will give them respect. Then there's balei chuchma, which is obviously would be a qualification for someone being a judge. Balei zkena, which also seems to fall into the category of kavod, people who have already of an age. Well, they're not young whippersnappers, but people will give them kavod because they have experience and they have their age will also afford them a certain amount of kavod. Now, balei kshafim, which is the interesting one, which is Rashi interprets, is lamit mecha shafim, that they're not afraid of the sorcery or witchcraft when these individuals show up in Beis Din and think they can, place spells or do whatever they can in Beis Din, that they will take on the dayanim in that way, that these dayanim do not be, and they're not afraid of these balei kshafim, that they can defend themselves against them, or they're wise to their ways so that they can deal with them. Yodim b'ayin lashon, and they have to know the 70 languages. Why? Why do they have to know 70 languages? Shlote sanhedre shomat min piyat turguman, right? That's the, we have a din in the Torah that the judges must hear directly from the litigants or directly from the edim. They can't do it derech hashliach or derech interpretation. So therefore, if they come, these foreign speakers, foreign language speakers come before the Sanhedrin, they have to be able to hear them directly without any interpreter between them. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Ein Moshivim v'Sanhedrin Ela Mishu Yodea L'Tayer Tesheretz Min HaTorah. That we only allow someone to sit in a Sanhedrin who can be Metaher Esheretz Min HaTorah. That he can somehow come up with a limud that will say that Esheretz is Tahor, even though we know Esheretz is Tameh. So now, so is a certain level of understanding, wisdom, depth of knowledge about the Torah that he can do such a thing. The Rabbeinu Tam asks, it's interesting, just an interesting from the question standpoint, the Rabbeinu Tam asks, Kashu Rabbeinu Tam, the Malanu b'chafirut shel hevel. Who needs this, sharpness that's worth nothing? I mean, great. So he can, do acrobatics on the Torah, right? What's the point of that? Sure, it's Torah Timato. We know the Torah is Mitameh, so here they want to be Mitayer. What type of value is this? So the Rabbeinu Tam tries to reinterpret what it means here. That's really Mitayer, something that should be Tahor. It comes through a very complex way or idea. And then the Tosafot questions Rabbeinu Tam's interpretation, whether it really works. I just an interesting question from Rabbeinu Tam. Why even the person so smart they can do this? Sometimes just that type of smarts is not helpful for being a judge or helping out in being interpreting what Kalah. We need to know what the halacha is. We don't need to know what the halacha isn't. So I'm a Rav. So of course Rav pipes up and says, "Ani adon veterenu." I'm Ra'oi to be on the Sanhedrin. Obviously, it wasn't extant anymore, but Rav says, I can do that. I can reach that qualification. He says, Umanachash, when it comes to a snake, Shememit Umarbetum Abolam, that goes ahead and kills others, meaning it kills animals and humans, and increases the Tumal Neolam, it's Tahor. We had a snake that passes away, a snake that dies is not mitameh. It's not one of the shratzim. It's not one of the shratzim enumerated by the Torah. And therefore, its nevela is not tumah. Does not have tumat sheretz yet. So what are we going to say? Sheretz she'enu memit umarbe tumah. Other shratzim, which are the enumerated shratzim in the Torah, it's not one of the shmona shratzim the nachash, which isn't one of the shmona shratzim. Here, if you take one of the shmona shratzim that are mentioned in the Torah, they don't necessarily kill others. They're not necessarily dangerous animals, and they're not increasing tumah v'olam, and who didn't she'ei tahor? So certainly they should be tahor because they don't increase tumah v'olam. Where it says, v'lohi, that's not a good kal v'chomer. Made it have a kotz v'alma. Meaning that creating tumah in the world has nothing to do with you being tameh. You have a thorn bush, or you have some sort of item that, stones, that cause death. Somebody trips on a stone and dies. Somebody bumps into a thorn bush and is killed by the thorns. Now what are you going to say? Oh, that item should be, there's more likely that this item should be tameh because it killed others. There's no relationship between the objects that kill others and the tumah that's inherent in that item.
You're placing ethics on an animal.
Right. I don't know morality, ethics, but just the idea that there's no correlation between the tum'ah of the individual animal and what it does, all right, or what the object does.
Maybe it is connected. The question is it connected to what we said before? That if everyone,
right,
if there's no one, it be mehapech
l'zchut. I see, which say that's nice. So this is that the same idea that you have someone who can be mehapech l'tahara to share it. Even if you see the, right, that's a nice idea. I like that idea a lot. Yeah, it's very nice that the fact that someone can be matara sheretz, that's exactly the idea that the Beis Din before, that someone who's totally guilty, at least they can still see it's ad l'taher on an individual. Very nice, very nice. Amir Yudah Marab, kol ir, she'in ba shnayim l'daber v'achad l'shmoa in moshivim bo Sanhedrin. If in any city that does not have two individuals who can speak the 70 lishonot and one who can understand but not speak, then you can't have a Sanhedrin g'dolat, because the idea would be that not all the Sanhedrin, not all of them have to be able to speak or understand, but we have to have some sort of subset of the Sanhedrin that is a significant Beit Din, which would be three, so a minimum of three, a subset that could actually hear the testimony or could hear the Edim directly, and then they can speak to the rest of the Sanhedrin. So you need some representation of the Sanhedrin that would be able to hear them directly without it being interpreted. Ubeitar Avu Shlosha, in Beitar they had three, Ubiyabne Arba, there were four. Ubelezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Akiva, Vishimon Temani, Dan Lifnehem Bakarko. So these three Rabbanan, which are Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva, and Shimon HaTemani, who was not old enough yet to get the smicha, and therefore he was Dan Lifnehem. He was a student that sat in front of these great Rabbein, but all four of them were able to speak these four Lashonot. Meitve, Shlishit, Chuchma, Viit en lamala emena. So that it sounds like having three individuals who can do this is tremendous. Four en lamala emena. There's nobody greater than that. I mean, that's such an unusual situation where you have four people who have this ability to speak these lishonot. So over here we just said before that the what?
Three is the minimum.
Right. So what do you mean? Three shlishit chokma and then revit en lamala emena. So he says, "Udomarki aitan at the Tanya, shnia chokma, shlishit in the malamenu." That two is a nice base then, but three, there's nothing more than that. So the meidim lifnei chachamim here. This is the gemara is going to go through. This is like a shas gemara now. It's going to go through all the times throughout shas, but the gemara uses some sort of it seems almost like ambiguous term of dayanei bavel, dayanei eretz yisrael. These are these terms that doesn't say who these individuals are. So here the Gemara is going to define for you when the Gemara uses these terms throughout the, it's like the table where you go to look at it and say, okay, what does that mean? Dayanei Eretz Yisrael, Dayanei Bavel, Dayanei, this is the Gemara going to lay out for you all these times when the Gemara uses these types of descriptions, that are not specific in nature, it's going to tell you who they mean. So the first one is, L'meidim lifnei chachamim. When it says those that learn before the chachamim, that's talking about Levi mi Rabbi. That's Levi who used to learn before Rabbi. So that's the, whenever you see that in the Gemara, Lemeidim lifnei chachamim. Danim lifnei chachamim. Those that were Dan before the chachamim, that refers to Shimon ben Azai, Shimon ben Zoma, Bechanan Mitzri, Bechananya ben Achinai. Those individuals, all of them did not have smicha, and they were Dan lifnei chachamim, is that they were still youngsters, Talmidim, and they were Dan lifnei chachamim. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak matnei chamisha. There were five in that list. Shimon, Shimon, v'Shimon, Chanan, v'Chananya. So if we go back to our list that we had already, the four, you have Shimon ben Azai, v'Shimon ben Zoma, Chanan and Chananya. So you're missing one Shimon. Who's the Shimon you're missing? Was the Shimon we mentioned before, which was Shimon ha-Temani. Shimon ha-Temani, you also said before the Chachamim, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shua. So those are the three Shimons, and the Chanan and Chananya, those are the five who are called Danim lefein Chachamim. Rabotenu Shibavel, right, our Rabbanon, that in the Rabavel, who are the, like the Rav, right, in Bavel, that's Rav and Shmuel. Right now, Rabotenu Shibaretz Yisrael, who had that title, that is Rabbi Avel. Dayanei Gola, so Dayanei Gola is Karna, and the Dayanei, the Eretz Yisrael, is Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi. So this is the Dayanei Eretz Yisrael. Dayanei de Pumpadita is Rav Papa bar Shmuel. Dayanei de Narado is Rav Adar bar Yumi. Just interesting here, by the way, that the plural is used in some of these items, and yet it's only one individual, right? You have Dayanei Gola, and that's Karna.
Then you have Daniel Tisho, we have Rabbi Ami Rabasi, which makes sense. And again, you do it again with Dayane de Pumpadita, Rapapa, which was a single individual. And Dayane de Narada is also Rabbi de Ramnume, who's also a single individual. Sabe de Sura, the elders of Sura, is Rav Huna, Rav Chista. Sabe de Pumpadita, the elders of Pumpadita, is Rav Yehuda, Rav Ina. Harife de Pumpadita, the sharp ones of Pumpadita, is Ayafa, Rav Yume ben Rechava, Bnei Rechava. Amurai de Pumpadita, the Amurai is Rabba and Rav Yosef. Amurai de Naradai is Rav Chama. That's Rav Chama, Narabai, Matnu. When it uses that term, that's Rami Bar. Again, I think the Oroch over here says that it's Rami Bar Bruchi, which probably makes sense instead of Berebi. Amar Be Rav. This is an interesting. So when it says Amar Be Rav, what does that mean? Obviously, the meaning of Amar Be Rav, and this is what the Gunnar Shas points, the Hagos Runchenberg points out, that near Beinai, Chol Amri Be Rav, Stam Shas, is Mishmei De Ravu. Right? Anytime it says Amru Mishmei De Rav, that's talking about in the name of Rav, or the Beis Medrash of Rav. So that's not the Gemara is not asking that question over here. The Gemara wants to know, which is Amri Be Rav, Ravuna, the one, who is the Talmud of Rav, who is saying over the words of Rav, who is saying over these items. So the Gemara here says Ravuna. So Mara says, well, Vahama Ravuna Amre Be Rav. So Ravuna himself said that they say in Be Rav. So that obviously means that he can't be the one that's saying it. Right, so Ella Rav Hamnuna. So here, Rashi's Girsa is Ella Rav Hamnuna. It means that Ravuna, the one who is Be Rav, is Rav Hamnuna. Over here, Tosus rejects that interpretation and says that it doesn't mean, they don't write Ella, because we find in other places that that's not the case. So how could it be that Rav Huna is saying over, this is Tosu's problem, how could Rav Huna be saying something over the name of Rav Hamnuna? Right, because Rav Chista was a Talmud of Rav Huna, and Rav Hamnuna was a Talmud of Rav Chista. So here that would make Rav Huna a grand Rebbe of Rav Hamnuna. If he's a grand Rebbe of Rav Hamnuna, how is he quoting something from Rav Hamnuna? So Tosu says he doesn't see that as the interpretation. We actually had this Tosus in other places. Tosus comes up in a number of places in Shas. It's Amidari Rav, where Rashi, the Rishabam, will say it's Rav Hamnuna, and Tosus says, no, it can't be Rav Hamnuna. So what does he do with this? He has to explain over here, Omeinu Tam, the Halchot Garis, Eima Rav Hamnuna. Right? Say that that is Rav Hamnuna. Right? Don't reuse it. He takes out the word Ella. And the way to explain it is, Lo Teima Amar Rav Huna Amarei Be Rav, El Amar Rav Hamnuna Amarei Be Rav. So it's the change is not to the who is the Be Rav, but who said Amrei Be Rav. It was, first we said, we brought a proof against the fact that Amrei Be Rav is Rav Huna, because it says Amrei Rav Huna, Amrei Be Rav. So instead of saying that, don't say Amrei Rav Huna, Amrei Be Rav, but say Amrei Rav Hamnuna, Amrei Be Rav. And that'll solve your problem, because then Rav Hamnuna is a grand Talmid of Rav Huna, could be quoting him. That would make a lot of sense, that he's quoting Rav Huna, who is from the Be Rav, is quoting the name of Rav. Amrei Be Maravo. They said in Eretz Yisrael, that's Rabbi Yirmiyah. Shalchu mitam, they sent from over there, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina. Machaku ala b'marava, they laughed about it in Eretz Yisrael on this time, Rabbi Lazar. It's Rabbi Lazar. Shalchu mitam. Then it says over there, the divrei, Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina. It said that we sent from over there, and then according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, well, you just said Shalchu Mitam is Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. So what is he? Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is sending that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina in the third person says that? Obviously, it's someone else who's saying it, so it can't be that. Ela Ipuch. Switch around those interpretations. Shalchu Mitam is Rabbi Lazar. Machuku Allah Bar Marava is Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bar Chanina. So the other Tosus points out that at last, if you look in the last Tosus over here, he says, Machuku Allah Bar Marava, Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Tema, the parak shalisha minim, ben azir, ashkechan, du machuk ala bar marava, adarosi bar Rabbi Chanina. They laughed about him. So if they're laughing about him, he's the one doing the laughing, how they're laughing about him. So it just says it's not, the Gemara doesn't address it, but still, it's just interesting again. Oh, it's a laughing matter that Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina is the one who laughs, and the Gemara and Nazir, it seems to be that they're laughing about him. Right now, the last part of our Mishnah, obviously, we're reaching the end of the parak, so this is going to be the last part of the Mishnah, is what size of city do you need to create a Sanhedrin? So there we say that it was that it had to be Ruya. Kama ye ir ve ruya the Sanhedrin, mea vesrim. It's 120 people. Mea vesrim, mai vetayu. What do you need 120 people in the city for? What are they going to be doing? So esrim vishlosha, keneged sandre ktana. Right, so you have 23 keneged sandre ktana, vishlosh rot, shal esrim vishlosha. So you have also three rows of Talmidim that sit in front of the Sanhedrin. I mean, like Karen Biavna, the idea that there were rows
of students, and then as one person got dropped off, as the Sanhedrin Gedolah, they were set in order of importance, order of, stature, upcoming, choosing, and they would take somebody out of the bench. That was basically the bench, and it had to be in the Sanhedrin. So you have one bench, which is the Sanhedrin, and you have three benches, which are the Talmidim, Lifnei, the Sanhedrin. So you take that, it's 4 times 23, that gets you 92. Right, so that's what we have so far. So that's Hare Tishim Vitarte. It's 92. I mean, just as an aside, that leaves you very little for, you know, everybody's in the Sanhedrin already. You have 92 people out of 120 that are involved with the Dayanim. Right? Vasara Batlanim, Shel Beit HaKnesset. You need the 10 Batlanim, right? Mentioned the Gemara Megillah. They have to be in the Beit Knesset. Rashi over here says, what do you need the Vasara Batlanim? Vasara Bnei Adam B'Talim Mikol Melacha. They do nothing. They are Munaim the Beit Knesset Shachrei Varvit. They're always available for minyan. Hashem comes to a Beit Knesset at the time of davening, there aren't 10 people there right away, he gets angry. So, we also have the interpretation there in Megillah, called Krach, Shem, Asara Batlanim, Nidon Kikfar. You need Asara Batlanim to be classified as a city and not a kfar. So you need 10 people who can come and ready to always on call for minyan. So that gets you up to 102. Tari Mea Betray. Ushne Sufrim. You need two stenographers, right? That, or I don't know if it has to be stenographers here or even sofrim regular, that are just documenters. They can write and deal with any documentation that needs to be done. So I guess you have 204. Ushnei chazanim. You need two chazanim. Chazanim here is not, they can get up and daven for the amud. Chazanim here are like the equivalent of sheriffs, right? These are people who go out and bring people to the din. They ensure that everybody listens to what the Beis Din requests. Ushnei Balei Dinim, you need two litigants, right? Ushnei Edim, at least two witnesses. Ushnei Zomamim, because you can't have witnesses, we have this all the time, that Kol Edut She'ein Nitan La'Zama, an Edut that cannot be made into Zomim, it's not a good Edut. Why? Because they lose the fear factor. We have to have a fear factor that they could be found out. So if they don't have a fear factor, then they could lie, and we don't want that. Ushnei Zomamei Zomamim. And you need actually extra Zomamei Zomamim, which is those Edim that come to be Zomamim should have a fear factor as well. That makes you 114. Right, so now you have to get to 120. So now what are you going to do with the additional that you're missing over here? So the Rabbeinu Chananel includes, and there's Osif Aleim Vav, yet another six. Right, I was going to say, you need six people, they're not very much, right, everybody's in the Beis Din, everybody's working for the Beis Din. I said, there are only two individuals who work, and they have a fight. So he says, Osif Aleinu Tabach, a butcher, Rufe, right, it's a doctor, Uman, which is, a bloodletter, Lavlar, which would be, that would be a regular Sofer, right, and Melamed Tinokot, right, somebody who can teach the children, an educator. That's the six that he adds. The Gemara here is going to say in a second that there are certain things the city must have. It's interesting over here, the Rabbeinu Chananel, the reason I laid out the Rabbeinu Chananel, is you can see that one of the people that he picked is not in this list of individuals that will make up the 120. So here, if you go next, the Gemara continues, which is, V'tanya, kol ir she'im ba'as sarad varim alalu, and you see that it doesn't have these 10 items, ain't talking about chacham rashai ledor b'tochai, can't live there. Beitin makin v'odshin, you have to have some sort of judicial system in the city. Kupash shel tzedaka, you have to have a charity for the city, which is nigveit b'shnayim, umetzkalechet b'shlosha, it is collected with two and distributed with three. Ubeit knesset, ubeit merchatz, a shul, a bathhouse, ubeit kisei, I assume there's a bathroom in the city, Rufe, Uman, Velavlar. It has to be a doctor, right? A Uman, which would be a bloodletter, Velavlar, some sort of documenter or writer, Umelame Tinokot, right? Someone who teaches children. So, Umishum Rukiramu, Af Mine Pera. Shubine Pera, Meirina Tanaim. You have to have fruits in the city, because fruits are good for you, are healthy for you. So this, now according to this, what are the additional? So he says, Rashi, if you look at the last Rashi, he says, Govim u'machalkim avlu, chamsha mishita debatsu leel. Right, so these are, from here we have five out of the six that we're missing from above. Ufe, uman, lavlar, umlameid, chal gavra, havalu chohani. So he says, Rashi says, you know what, the five people are those that work in the kupa shel tzedakah. You have two that collect, three that distribute. That's five.
And the last person that you need a sixth person. He's a multi-talented individual. He's able to be the rofe, the uman, the lavlar, and the mlamed. He can do all these items at once. That's sofrim. That's what I was saying before. Maybe those are stenographers rather than sofrim. I think that's what you have to interpret. But basically, what Rashi is saying that you have five out of six, and there's one last individual takes all of them up. Beno Chanano divides them up and doesn't have to be. It's much easier to say that those five individuals also have some other talent here. And those five individuals come from the pool of individuals that do other things. Whereas Rashi is interpreting those five to be the makeup, and then the last guy has all the other talents. Right? The Rabbeinu Kanal says, no, you have a Tabach, a Rufe, Uman, Lavlar, Melameh, Tinokot. And out of those, out of the whole city, you have five people who deal with the Kupa Shel Tztaka. Right now, Rabbi Nechemi Omer, Rabbi Nechemi has a minimum that's much larger. In the Mishnah, he doesn't require 120. Rabbi Nechemi Omer, 230 Keneged Sarei Asarot. 230 Keneged the Sarei Asarot. So Tanya, Rabbi Omer, 270 Right, Rabbi says you need 277 people. Vatanya, Rabbi Omer, 278 You need 278. Lukasha, Rabbi Yehuda, Harabana. It depends, it's Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbanan, because that's the difference between 71 and 70 that goes in the Sanhedrin Gedola. Lokash, alright, Tanu Rabbanan. Samta Layem, Sarei Alafim, Sarei Meot, Sarei Chamishim, Visarei Asarot. So Nitro, when it tells Moshe to put on them the Sarim, you have Sarei Alafim, would be 600, right? Sheish Meot. If you have 1,000, for each 1,000 you have you have one at 600,000, right, people, then you're gonna have 600 of those. Sarei Meot, you're gonna have, which is the opposite. If you have, by 100, you're gonna have Sheish Adelafim, you're gonna have 6,000. Right, Sarei Chamishim. If you're going to do the 50s, you're going to have 12,000 Elef, right, 12,000. Sarei Asarot, right, then you're going to have 5 times that is the Sheshit Rivo, right, the 60,000, right, people. Nimsu, Dayanei Israel, the total Dayanei of Israel is Shivat Riboa Ushmonim Alafim V'Shesh Meot. It's 70,000, 78,600, right, which doesn't work out. The numbers don't work out so well. Right, so they have... So my time is Shivim Mishiva. So now I have to do two things for you now. One is explain Rebbe's position of 277, and one is explain this last thing. So Rashi explains what's the 277. My time is Shloshim, Rebbe Nechemia. Requires 230 like Rebbe Nechemia. Vod Bem Zayin, another 47. Shemil Chokul Beis Din, right? If you have a Beis Din that's tied, Yudah Lef Hezakim, Verchazer Mechavim, Vechad Amarini Yodea. Well, you know, when each one says, you have 11 against 11, and one says, Eniodea. Then we said, Yosifu me'elu. He has to add on, me'elu b'mzayim, from these 47 at Shivim. That the maximum that you can have in a basin is up to 70. So you started with 23. The additional number that you need is 47. So if I start out with Rebbe Nechemia's base of 230, then I need an additional 47 to add on to the basin in order to get to the basin if they have a tie of some sort.
Then I use all those were the rows.
No, this is an addition to those. That's an addition to those. That's what he's saying, in addition to those. Now, the difference between the machlokas between the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you have 70 or 71, will be how many you can add. You only add until the level of the Beis Din HaGadol. So that addition will be either 47 or 48. Right, so that's the, that's explained that opinion. Now, the opinion, if you look at Tosos, Tosos says, Tema, hachasre lehu tuva. You're missing a lot of people over here. Right, v'chi mafkat misamach ribot, shesh meot, l'sarei alafim, l'mishkachat batarachim, vav alafim, l'sarei meot. Right, then you're not going to get 6,000 for the Sarei Meot. I mean, as you take out judges, I mean, that if the Gemara says over here that there's a static 600,000 people. And from those 600,000 people, you pick out the judges.
It was really the opposite. They started with Sarei Asarot. And then
they built up.
They were judged also.
So that's Tosa's answer. Tosa's answer is what you're suggesting. The first thing seems like if they pull out the judges, like if they pull out 600 judges for the Sarei Alafim. Now, when you go to pick for the next level of judges, it should be 600,000 minus 600. And if you go each one, you have to take out the judges because they're not counted. So Tosa, that's coming out. It's Vieshim Farshim. Tosa says, the Kol Hani Sarim, Efshar Tavuz Kenim Yeterim Yibnei Samach. Right, and those judges, they weren't necessarily from the 20 to 60. Who says the judges have to be from 20 to 60? The count of the individuals has to be from 20 to 60. But maybe the judges are above 60. If they're above 60, then you don't have the problem anymore because they're not detracting from the count. The other part, Sarei Asod, L'chashin Afil Ayu B'mnei Asrim, Shem Atzman Ayu Min HaChashbon. Right, so they can be part of the count.
Also from
Shevet Levi. Right. All right, Shevet Levi. B'chol Es'achad Sar Al Tishav U'asibi. V'yesh Mefarshim, D'chashbon Asrarot V'choshiv.
That this is it. The mitchilatam, this is what you were suggesting, David. They nimnu sarei asarot. Umeachashuvim behem nitmenu l'sarei chamishim. V'chashuvim misarei chamishim nitmenu l'sarei meot. Misarei meot v'yar lashuvim l'sarei afalim. Meaning that there was this number, and then from amongst those, you picked out.
Pool.
Right, so then you just picked out the best of those pools, and that's how you get to the number. How you straighten this out? All right, we'll stop over here.